I'm just going live on Facebook now as well. You know, we've got a wide audience these days. Tonight we're thinking about Christmas and the birth of Jesus as a baby at Bethlehem. We've been singing, we've been celebrating, using both old carols and new ones. And the children enjoyed dressing up, they enjoyed learning their new songs, and we hope you enjoyed listening to them. I think, in fact, we'll give them another round of applause at this point, because they were pretty good, weren't they, those kids? Yeah. The Christmas story is a story that always engages our imagination. It captures, you know, our attention. Thank you, a bauble. It's a story that's full of miracles. We've got these angels whizzing about, bringing messages to people. We've got the Holy Spirit coming upon a young woman called Mary, enabling her to have a baby, even though she was a virgin. We've got a star that leads people from miles away to see this baby born to be king. It's a story as well that's got a villain, the evil King Herod. He didn't want any baby born to be king. He wanted to be king. And so he tried his hardest to get rid of Jesus. And he didn't care how many other little boys he killed in the process. So it's got all the elements that we expect of a great story. It's got spectacle. It's got goodies and baddies. It's got miracles. And it's got ordinary people and extraordinary people as well. But it's also a story that's firmly set in history. Yeah? Luke says that this happened when Caesar Augustus was ruling, when Quirinius was the governor of Syria. It's a story that's firmly rooted in place. We move from Nazareth in Galilee to Bethlehem in Judea. We go on to Jerusalem. Eventually, Mary and Joseph and Jesus end up in Egypt. Joseph takes his family there to escape from Herod. So we have to understand that it isn't a fictional story. It's not a fantasy. It's not a fairy tale. It's a story that's rooted in history and in geography, in time and place, and it's rooted in truth. Because if these things didn't really happen, as the Bible tells us, we've got no hope. Because the truth wrapped up in this story is that God loved us so much that he sent his only son to be our saviour. And it all started, as far as we can see, in that stable at Bethlehem. But of course, we know in actual fact, because the Bible tells us, that God's plan existed long before the events that we've been remembering tonight. Right back in the book of Genesis, when sin first entered the world because of Adam and Eve's disobedience, God said he would send a redeemer. Throughout the Old Testament, he talked about sending the Messiah, his anointed one, who would bring deliverance and rescue from sin. And in the book of Revelation, it actually tells us that Jesus is the Lamb who was slain before the creation of all the world. So Christmas was in God's heart long before the actual events that we've been celebrating tonight took place. Our first song said, tonight's events were planned in heaven, the greatest story ever penned. We know that we have to prepare for Christmas. Yeah? We've got to buy and wrap presents. We've got to buy and cook food. If we're going to enjoy all the things that we associate with a happy Christmas, that takes time and planning. And God himself prepared a way for us to be reconciled to him long before that first Christmas. And we can rejoice tonight because of God's preparation and his forethought. You know, the children at the back there don't realise what goes into making a happy Christmas. Yeah? They don't realise what goes into the organisation of a nice Christmas for them. And often we don't realise the organisation of that first Christmas. We just rejoice, as the angels declared, that today in the town of David, a saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. But the more we understand what God did in preparing for that first Christmas, the more we can appreciate the scope of Christ's arrival on earth. You know, preparation and planning are at the heart of every successful event. This year, we've had a lot of events in this church. We enjoyed celebrating the Queen's Platinum Jubilee with a Jubilee Fun Day at Phoenix Park, and we had an afternoon tea here at church. We've enjoyed fun days with all the other local churches. We've enjoyed Christmas activities and parties throughout December. If you were here at the start and you saw all the notices, you'll know that in this last week alone, we did a carol singing event outdoors at the Embankment on Sunday. We had Forefront Theatre here on Monday doing pantomimes. We've had toddler parties this week. It's been a really busy time. But those things don't happen by chance. They happen because people care enough to plan and to prepare and to organise. And God spent thousands of years preparing for Jesus to come to earth. Paul says when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. The writer to the Hebrews says that when he's talking about Christ, that Christ says, a body you prepared for me. You know, everything God did in giving Israel the sacrificial system pointed to that time when Jesus would come to earth, when he would live that sinless, perfect life and would die on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins. You know, God was preparing the world for the arrival of his son. You know, the Roman Empire with its roads, its organisation, its Pax Romana that guaranteed safe passage to citizens really helped the spread of the gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ. God is the best planner of all. And the Christmas story in some of the Gospels doesn't really start with the actual birth of Jesus. And we see something of God's preparation as we take time to read those stories. In Luke's Gospel, we see that God's preparation involves sending an angel, first of all, to a priest called Zechariah. And Zechariah and his wife couldn't have any children. And this angel announced the miracle of a birth of a son to them. And the birth of that son, John the Baptist, was another sign of God's preparation because he would grow up to be a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And those verses had been prophesied hundreds of years before then. So, you know, the prophets spoke about Jesus hundreds of years before he was born. They're another indication of God's planning and foreknowledge. Isaiah spoke about a virgin giving birth. Micah spoke about Bethlehem being the place where Jesus would be born. Jeremiah spoke about the Messiah coming from the line of King David. And all of those things happened when Jesus was actually born. They reflect God's meticulous planning and preparation. Then we see in Matthew's Gospel, the preparation of God in the journey of those wise men, the Magi. God sent that star specifically to guide them. Now, we can imagine the time it took for those wise men to prepare. Their studies that pointed them, you know, the significance of the star and the fact that they had that long journey from the east to Jerusalem, their arrival reminding us that God can work far away as well as near to home. He's able to work in all situations, in all circumstances, to bring about his plans and purposes. And Christmas reminds us of the sheer variety of God. You know, he uses angels to speak to shepherds, but he uses a star to draw astronomers from far away, bringing them to worship Jesus. He uses the Roman census to bring Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem. You know, the family lived in Nazareth, but the prophets had said Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. This is how God worked it so that that would happen. Psalm 33 verse 11 says, "The plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations." And Job learned through all the misfortunes that happened to him that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. God's preparation brings us the most wonderful present of all, this indescribable gift, Jesus. Now, many of you will already have spent time preparing for Christmas. You'll have been buying Christmas gifts. You'll have been getting your shopping ready. If you haven't already, there is still time, Stephen. You've still got a week to buy that present for Stacey. Yeah? You've still got time. But whether you're organised or not, whether you're good at planning and preparing or you're not, whether you've got any money or not, no matter what your situation, you can receive the gift of Jesus Christ this Christmas. He's the reason that we celebrate. He's the gift of God to all humanity. His very name reminds us that the Lord saves. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. He's both Son of God and Son of Man. And he's the reason that we can have hope, because his arrival on earth was another step in God's wonderful plan of salvation and rescue and reconciliation. And that plan moved on a step further that first Christmas. It continued through the 33 years of Jesus' life. It continued through his death and resurrection. We're waiting today for the fulfillment of that plan, for the return of Jesus Christ to earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we can be sure that nothing will thwart God's plans and purposes. Those plans for us are good. Romans 8:28 says that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. And as a result, we can have hope, no matter what. We can be like our children this Christmas. We can be grateful, we can be excited, without necessarily understanding all the preparation, all the sacrifice and love that go into this time of year. May God grant us faith, hope and love as we move forward to Christmas and beyond. Thank you.